This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
John and Valley Stream. Good morning, John.
You got a solution for this animosity between all the shows? What if you guys met at the Seaport every show and just did like a full-blown Anchorman-style rumble and just kind of settle it once and for all? Anybody try to...
Rick killed a guy.
Well, I think that would actually happen, John. I think Dave is capable of killing somebody.
Rick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by. Lay low for a while because you're probably wanted for murder.
This is DCR.
I think he loves the lamp.
I love lamp. Do you really love the lamp, or are you just saying it because you saw it?
I love lamp.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Y'all ready? They ready?
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. It's a Friday, which is great. Victorious in getting to know your call. So can I pull ahead next week? Chris runs in point theory. On it?
No, in theory, you can. I mean, in theory, you could pull ahead of me.
That's right. So I can cut Chris's. So Chris is very confident, overconfident and cocky at this point. Regardless of what happens after next week, he will have a one-game lead over one of us?
Correct.
That's not all that impressive for the dominant performances that he's put on the table.
No, but we've seen him fall apart. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
No.
Look at the NFL picks.
That's right. What did he go? I think 1-9-1 like that postseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think he had like a 7-game lead on you going into the postseason.
Yeah, he went 1-9-1. Well, he crumbled. He gets rattled easily, and then he crumbles.
But that's why he didn't want to do the postseason. That's why he's against doing the postseason picks.
Well, obviously. We might not do picks at all next year, by the way.
No, we're not.
No, we truly might not. With the animosity and anger that happened with these picks, we might just table that. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. So, people very upset yesterday. I mean, really, really upset. How dare the Mets cheat like that? And Conforto is awful and deceitful and getting excited by winning a game like that. And the Yankees would, I mean, we're the Yankees. We would never do anything like that. My point is, the Mets did nothing wrong. Conforto did nothing wrong. The guy can't hit the baseball to save his life right now. I'm sure that will change. He took one for the team. He did everything he could where he would have been struck out if he didn't do that. And he tried to win the game. I have no issue. If you have an issue, I think your issue is that A, that can't be replayed, and B, that the umpires missed it. Not with Conforto, not with the Mets.
No, I mean, the only ones that should be upset about this is the Miami Marlins, the team.
Should be horrified.
In the handful of Miami Marlins fans. That's it. I mean, Michael Conforto was in a spot where he got fooled by the pitch. And in that instance, I actually give him credit that in that moment he had enough wherewithal to put his elbow into the pitch with that elbow pad on. Is I'm going to either strike out or now I'm going to put it in the hands of the umpire to make the call. Either he's going to stick with striking, it's a strikeout, and you put your elbow into the strike zone, which by definition of the rule is you're still out.
Right, or he should have been.
Yeah, or he's going to put me on first base and we win. And that's what happened. To say this is not how you want to win is the most ridiculous take I've ever heard in my entire life.
No. See, I don't agree with you on that. I you wouldn't prefer for him to just have gotten a base hit?
Dave, it doesn't matter if it was a base hit, if he got hit by the pitch, whatever
I
it was.
I understand it's a win.
If it was a sacrifice fly, a win is a win.
I get that. I'm not taking anything away from the win. But I would prefer that he would have just hit the baseball. You don't want to win a game like that. I'm fine with winning a game like that. But that's not my preferred method of winning the game.
Well, unfortunately for you, you don't get to choose how you win.
I get it.
Did they celebrate any less after that win?
No. No, and that's another thing. Everyone all, how dare they celebrate like that? I mean, come on, give me a break.
You don't think during the course of 162 games there's going to be a call or two or three
or
four?
I think there's plenty of them. I think it happens all the time.
Of course it does.
Did the Yankees not want to win that game against the Orioles when Jeffrey Mayer leaned over the outfield fence and caught that ball? Do you ever hear a Yankees fan saying, boy, we would have lost that game. We might not have won the World Series that year. Do you ever hear that? Ever?
Never. Not one time.
Never one time.
Now, what you can say is that's not how you want to lose a game, which couldn't be more true. That's an awful way to lose a game.
Terrible.
For the Marlins.
It's terrible. It happens. It's all. Listen, do you remember the Giants? I mean, how many times does the NFL write letters to teams? of, well, you know, we really screwed you here. We apologize. What good does that do? Remember when the Giants lost that game to the Niners in the postseason, 39-38, and the Giants messed up the field goal and they threw it downfield? The NFL said they messed up. There should have been a pass interference, and they screwed it up. But I mean, what are you going to do? This is what happens. This is part of professional sports. Mistakes are made.
Mistakes are made. I mean, look at it. You got the Tuck rule game. I mean, you go through. I mean, there's been plenty of situations. You got the NFC Championship game where the call wasn't made. I think what would aggravate me the most is how the Major League Baseball chooses to use replay in the restrictions in making that call they had last night.
I agree.
So again, I mean, once they get to the replay yesterday, the crew came together. They talked about it. Obviously, the second base ump didn't have a good enough view or didn't see enough to tell the...
No one was adamant that was a strike.
Exactly right. So Don Mattingly came out, and he knows the rule book too, and the only thing they can review in that play is whether or not Michael Conforto got hit by the pitch, which he did. But at that point, Ron Culpa, his hands are tied at that point.
I get it. It's a broken system is what it is. We'll hear from Conforto in a moment. Let's go to Jason in Jersey City. Good morning, Jason. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going well.
Great.
Yeah, there you go, Rick. You're so excited now. I love it.
Hey, nice pickup, Rick. Hey, I didn't like it. I mean, just, you know, you're manipulating the sport, and that's what I don't like. I consider it the same as like a defensive penalty at the end of a game. The game can't end on that. I don't know how you change it. Maybe if it's a true hit by pitch or somebody leans in, then the manager of the opposing team gets to pick, not the pitching, or the manager of the offensive team gets to pick maybe the batter that goes up, so there's another batter.
How about John, instead of a crazy rule like that, how about you just change it to where that can be replayed? No? Why do you have to start choosing people that are going to do certain things?
Well, because they don't want us now. That's a slippery slope. You're going to start judging intent on replay. Was it a strike or not?
That's a strike, yes.
That was a strike. Well, he thought it was a strike. And again, I'll go back to the only reason that he would change his mind in that moment is because he was ringing him up was the reason why that pitch was a strike was because it glanced off his elbow pad into the strike zone. That could be the only explanation.
That could be the only reason.
For why you would change
your mind. He thought it was maybe high and tight. It hit the elbow pad. It ricocheted down into the strike zone. And that's why he thought it was a strike. That's got to be the only
explanation
that there could be.
Because in the rule book, if it's a strike and you get hit with the pitch, it's still a strike. You're not awarded first base. It's a strike.
And it should have been a strike. And no one is defending the fact that it was the right call. Just defending the fact that these things happen.
Dave, to the caller's point, though, I mean, by definition, I mean, the only reason it's a penalty is because it was seen and called a penalty. There are plenty of things that happen during the course of a football game that are penalties, but no one sees them, so they're not called.
That's right.
That's kind of what happened yesterday. He made a play where he stuck his elbow in to get hit by the pitch because he was fooled by the pitch, and now it was on the umpire to make the right call. And the umpire, unfortunately, made the wrong call.
So many people, you should be embarrassed by that win. Horrified, embarrassed. Just shut up, really.
Do you know how much Conforto's teammates appreciate that he did that?
That he would take one for the team? Literally take one for the team?
Yes.
Now say it again.
Take the fall! Get indignant!
Are you on Twitter right now?
No, what do they say on Twitter?
Somebody just sent a photo of RJ as a woman.
He's gorgeous.
He looks like Mila Kunis.
Yeah, Mila Kunis, yeah.
Whatever.
I actually think he's better looking as a woman than he is a man.
But I went to Twitter and I looked at him. It just struck me.
RJ, I don't want this to get awkward, but...
You are delightful, RJ.
Oh my goodness, RJ.
I gotta read. RJ, have you seen what you look like as a woman?
I just saw it, and I heard Don say this when they did this gimmick with the K-Show. Maybe God got it wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm leading the wrong life.
Vincent Cousin is the gentleman that did this. Maybe he could do mine as well, and we could tweet it out. I also am a gorgeous woman.
You honestly look exactly like, and I'm not even joking. I actually tried to find a picture. You look like one of Cassie's sister's friends. You look like her identical twin. Scary how much
hair, RJ. I mean, your hair as a man is wonderful. Your female hair is. Who is a more attractive woman, Me or Michael? Be honest. Beautiful.
You're the more attractive woman.
Thank you.
I'm not afraid. Would you be uncomfortable woman. If I use this picture?
Yeah, let me ask. I need to know the context. Where's it going to go?
Yeah. How are you using the picture?
What time of day?
Yeah. What room are you using the picture in?
Who's in the room?
Yeah.
Holy catfish!
What do you mean if I use the picture?
That could change the relationship, I think.
Do you see like an image of Ryan Hurley behind God. RJ, by the way?
See the image of who? Ryan Hurley? Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Ryan Hurley. Like the ghost of Ryan Hurley is behind RJ.
Yeah, what is that? Why is he in the picture? Is he the one? He's the one taking the picture.
Yeah, I think it's the reflection of that. Yes.
RJ, you are, that's striking.
A gorgeous woman. You could model,
that's kind of
RJ.
Like Mila Kunis a little bit.
I really like what I've done with my hair.
Wait, did you just say he looks like Mila Kunis?
No, you're right. Yeah, he looks like Mila Kunis.
Oh, I thought you're using that as your own.
No, I've been thinking about it for the last 10 seconds, and I came up with this real original thought.
You can
thought.
Bring that to KJZ, yeah. Barton Hine will be doing that.
I can't believe how many segments they've stolen already. It's
they
only been
everything.
2 weeks.
I
it's
can't
been 2 weeks.
That they feel comfortable about it.
I mean, call it a roulette. That's an. I don't want to hear from anybody.
They did.
That,
they did. They, heard they did anywhere. Rapid fire too. They did like a frenzy kind of rapid
yes.
fire.
Exactly right. So they stole. I mean, they stole roulette where you don't know what they're going to ask. On top of the fact that they in the way that they described it was exactly verbatim how you describe what a football frenzy is.
Yes, they have no shame.
Zero.
None.
None.
Let's go to Spike.
When their original thought is take it or shake it, and you got
right.
to sing, take it. I mean, come on.
They will take anything. They have no shame. Spike in Florida. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning, my friends. Guys, you checked me this morning. I have a question on the Conforto ball. Remember when Bonds was up and he wore that gigantic elbow pad?
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. What's the limit? All I need to know if that was legit or not. What's the limit on the size? You can't come up there. You can't come in there with something that extends a foot and a half.
Well, of course not.
Is there a limit on that? And that answers the question, because anyone that was happy the Mets won, but is there anyone that's questioning that, that's an issue, just what's the size of the elbow pad? He tried to jump out of the way of the ball. He's fooled, it looked like, to me.
No.
No, he was fooled. No. Then once he realized he was fooled, he was going to strike out.
He did not
his elbow
try
in.
To jump out of the way of the pitch. He wanted to get hit, was his immediate reaction. So stop it.
Yeah, and that elbow pad that he's wearing is within the legal limits.
Of course.
It's just the fact that when you have the elbow pad on like that, and it doesn't hurt when you get hit with the pitch, you're more likely to stick your elbow in there. If I was a pitcher, that's the issue I would have.
Yeah.
Is that because they have the protection of the elbow pad.
There's no downside.
No, there's none. And it allows you to now all of a sudden, your approach at the plate is I'm going to hang right over the plate. Because if you hit me in the elbow, it doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt.
That's right.
You eliminate the fear of getting hit.
But you're not going to tell guys you can't wear an elbow pad.
Well, I mean, just go back to when Bonds, like where he stood and how intimidating that would be. I mean, he hung completely over the plate.
Over the plate.
With a giant elbow pad on.
Absolutely over the plate.
That season he had, though, I mean, if you look at...
Oh, my God.
Just look at the statistics in that season that he had. And he wasn't, like, if you watch the games, too, he got maybe one pitch to hit in the bat.
Oh, and he never, ever missed. I mean, what more definition do you need than they walk the guy with the bases loaded?
You don't.
They walk the guy with the bases loaded.
I don't want to compare myself to Barry Bonds, but I will for a second. In Little League, I was walked with the bases loaded.
Were you really?
Yeah.
How good did that feel?
I was actually mad at them. In the moment, I was mad.
Well, of course you were, because you wanted to hit.
But then when Mike Ruzioni, when he would do the color of the BU games, once he told that story during one of the BU games, I was like, okay, now that you hear
you
the
felt
story.
Felt a little better, didn't you?
I felt better about it, yeah.
I mean, that's the highest form of flattery, right?
Like that kind of party.
You're so good. You're so good that we will allow a run to score just to avoid facing you.
You know who was more mad than me? I was just happy that...
Your dad.
Dude, when I tell you, I thought he was going to storm onto the
now,
field
little,
and try to fight
like,
the other
how
coach.
Young? Like 13 or like 9?
No, I was... So this was... I was probably 11.
It's kind of pathetic. Not on your part.
Yeah, but just
on
the other
coach's part.
But the other coach thought he was like... coaching a Major League Baseball team. They did it was like Terry Francona. He had like a big chaw in his mouth. Like he took it real serious.
Was it analytical?
It might have been. I mean, you'd have to imagine that point. It was like, why else are you going to walk a kid with the
bases
loaded?
Guy was ahead of his time. A genius back in the day.
He's underutilized.
That's right.
Jam it up!
He should be managing the White Sox.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we spend a minute on that, by the way?
You got what? All Saturday morning on your hockey show.
Oh, we're going to get into that on the hockey show. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If he thinks that, fine. You can't make that public. I hope that the Islanders pick 32nd and win the cup because I want to see my guys win.
Yeah, but that was more about... I get what you're saying. No fan wants to hear that. But that was more of how highly he thinks of Zajac and Palmieri.
Which is great. I'd love to see Zajac and Palmieri have tremendous success. I think they are the salt of the earth guys. Anything good that happens to them there is well deserved. But I want them to win the cup and we get the 32nd pick? You can't say that.
No, but as a player, you love it. I mean, that your GM is going to put you in a spot, is going to move you to a spot where you have a chance?
Yep, of course.
But I can understand why the fan would be pissed off.
But if I'm a fan of the Devils and he says that, I would be really annoyed.
No, because of course you want the pick to be as good as you. I mean, it's
how
like,
do you feel? How would you
I'm
feel? Joe
Douglas
came out last year and said, "Boy, you know what? We hope that the Seahawks win the Super Bowl and we get the 32nd pick back in return." You would have been livid about it.
Yeah, but I think it's a different situation too. You're right. I'm rooting for Seattle to lose every single game, but I think it's also. I mean, Palmieri and Zajac did not handle their situation like Jamal Adams handled his situation.
Correct.
So I mean, even if you ask Devils fans, I mean, you had the Devil fan call in yesterday that said he cried. With no tears.
That's right.
That
a tearless that, cry.
Yeah, that Zajac was traded.
Which
like,
I understand.
These are really well-respected players.
I get that, but my God, to say I hope that they win the cup now and we pick 32nd? How about I'd hope they collapse and we pick 19th?
Well, I get what you're saying. You're right. I mean, the fan perspective, you're 100% right. You don't want the Islanders to win because you want the best possible draft pick you can get.
Then that's my point. By the way, Vincent Cousin, I guess he does this as a hobby. Turning all of us at the station into women. But did you see what I look like as a woman?
Yeah, I told you. You look just like my sister-in-law's friend. Like exactly.
I am gorgeous. No, but nobody at a higher level than RJ. Like if RJ was, he would be married to a professional athlete if he was to look like that.
Yeah, I look like I'm doing like I'm an extra in the movie Twilight.
Yeah, you don't look. I mean, you don't look bad, but you don't look great. You know who looks
horrendous.
Lovely? Canty looks lovely as a woman.
He's got gorgeous skin, doesn't he?
Beautiful.
Carlin looks like as a woman he'd try real hard. Like that would be one of the benefits of being with him.
Yeah, Carlin's not a great looking woman.
Yeah, but he would try hard though. You know what I mean? Like he'd give you that little extra.
He would do anything that you needed.
Exactly right.
I guess.
I think but you're better off. I think you're actually better off as a woman. No offense.
Oh, I there's no doubt. I'm beautiful.
Yeah, you really are. I mean, you really do look striking.
I'm striking as a woman.
I think Carlin's better as a woman, too.
Yeah.
He's cute.
He looks okay. He looks okay. You look better as a guy.
I look horrendous.
RJ is oof.
It's a terrible pitcher, too, that he used.
Of you?
Yeah. Awful pitcher.
Oh, now you're going to start getting all upset about the photo he used? Did you see the one from Santiago?
No, Santiago's a woman too? Oh.
Yeah. Santiago's a woman too. Can we get
that? Oh, no.
That is a job. Santiago, he looks furious.
Yeah, I don't know about those eyes.
Uh-oh.
He got crazy eyes in that picture.
he looks furious.
I have comments that I have to keep to myself. I might get myself in trouble.
Yeah, you look absolutely furious. So for me, the winners, Don and RJ, have the biggest upside.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, you're right there, though.
Yeah, no, I'm a not distant third, but RJ is like, he'd be
yeah,
with
but
Jimmy
let's,
Garoppolo.
I mean, if we're being completely honest, at the station, if RJ was 6 feet, he would destroy it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think RJ, and I'm comfortable saying this, RJ is a very attractive man.
And he's got perfect hair.
Coiffed beautifully constantly.
He's always looks like he, I mean, he's, I don't know if he goes tanning, but he always has like a slight sun-kissed tan.
Never, ever looks pale. Like, I have that. If I don't get much sleep or whatever or tired, I look horrendous.
But Rick's right, though. If I had another, you know, if I cleared six feet tall, I would have been able to hang out and go out with Rick and his buddies when he was playing. Like, I could have rolled in that circle.
So does that pain you that you're little?
No.
I mean, listen, it's fine being little. Here's the thing, though. If RJ was his same size and had tons of money, no problem. Or if he was the same size and he was hung like a donkey, no problem. But if you're neither of those, we got to add.
How tall are you? Are you like 5'6"?
5'7".
5'7".
And let me say this, though. As you guys who are taller than that, the height thing is a real thing. And anyone that says it's not, you're lying.
I think it's what's holding you back. I'm not even joking. If you're 6 feet tall.
I've gotten the most out of this 5'7", though.
I couldn't agree with you more.
But I have limitations. You know, I'm like Jimmy Garoppolo. You're right. Like, in football, I can only go so far.
You should have gone on HGH as a kid. Because if you're 6 feet, your life might be completely different right now.
Oh, no. Well, anyways.
Yeah, but could also stunt his growth. I mean, all of a sudden now he starts ripping HGH at a young age.
I don't know.
And he's like that kid that's all jacked up.
Taller version of
RJ. HGH getting up at, you know, 1:30 in the morning. This doesn't end well.
You still look terrific, though. Time for some straight talk. All right, here we go. Cutting your wireless bill in half, it feels good. Home run in the ninth, kind of good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's Best Network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, I don't even know where you want it to go, but apparently you have something baseball-related you want to bring up, right?
Yeah, but why am I the only one wearing the red lipstick? I don't get it.
Yeah, but you look so, I mean, like you're... I'm dignified. What can
I
tell you?
Right.
Because I'm not going to give it up so easy.
I look like a pale hussy.
You're
going
to have to take
me
out. You're going to have to wine me. You're going to have to dime me. You're going to have to tell me you love me. I mean, I'm not giving it up that easy. You look like, you know what, take me out for some Taco Bell and let's go. Let me get a chalupa. I'm ready.
All I want is a cheesy gordita. I'll give you whatever you want.
Oh, my God.
That's right. $7 and I'm yours.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, what's your baseball point? Because I know it'll happen. We'll finish the show. You'll be like, you never let me get to my baseball point. Get to it.
I could tell you the best story right now, but we get fired. It was such a good story.
Why would we get fired?
I don't know. I would probably get fired.
Okay.
Well, because you usually get blamed. If I tell the story, you're the one that gets blamed.
You would tell the story, and I would hear, why would you let him do that?
No, so the baseball point I want to make, because I was listening to a bunch of different things yesterday, and I kept hearing the same thing, like, oh, yeah, you got to give Phil Nevin credit. I mean, I like how aggressive he was with Gio Urshela. You had to send him there.
Oh.
And my first thought was, what do you mean you had to send him there?
He was out by 5 feet.
It wasn't even close. It was not even close. Oh, you got to force the defense to make a play. Did you not see the throw that he made on the play where Wade scored, where he barely scored?
That's right.
It was a line drive to short right field, and Gio Urshela is at third base. Do you trust Gio Urshela's speed or Gleyber Torres, who's up next?
Torres is bad. I agree with you 100%. You just had an example where the guy showed off the arm that he has, and why would you test it again?
I have no idea. I just couldn't get over that. Like,
and that was shallow right field.
It was a line drive. It wasn't a high fly ball.
And the play wasn't close.
It was not even close.
He was out by literally... Five might be an exaggeration. 3 feet, like he was. It was not close.
The catcher pretty much like sat on top of him.
Yeah.
short of home.
Well, he hit him in the head. Like, he was clearly out. It wasn't even close. By the way, CMT did happen. I see someone sent a screenshot of I guess Cuddle Mary Trash. It says on the screen KJZ Cuddle Mary Trash, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Aww.
I can't. I don't know how they live with themselves.
I have no idea. It's almost embarrassing. I'm almost
take me out for some Taco Bell and let's go. That's it.
I got the red lipstick on.
Yeah,
I'm not that easy.
Done.
You know, I'm not that easy. I'll say no once in a while.
Your photo. Oh yeah, once in a while. once in a while.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
We haven't talked to you in a minute. That is Paul Feinbaum here on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Dave, I'm doing great. I miss you guys, man. It's been months.
We miss you terribly.
What's going on in New York?
There's a lot. I mean, I don't know if you saw how the Mets won yesterday, but that is a very hot-button issue today.
I would imagine. I'm glad we could give the audience a break for at least a minute or two.
Are you a Mets or Yankees guy, by the way?
No, I grew up a Yankees fan. My mom and dad, both from New York. My mother was a Giants fan. That shows you how far we go back. And my dad had me wearing Yankees garb from the day I was born.
So you're one of those, huh?
Never cared for the Mets.
Yeah.
And nice. Even less after yesterday.
Yeah, I see. You were not bothered by that, were you?
No, I'm not bothered by anything.
Nothing bothers you. You're funny.
The only thing that bothered me, I was in the middle of a show, and, between Marchand and everybody else that had a Twitter, I couldn't pay attention to my own radio show because that's all I heard was, tweet. All I could see were tweets about the Mets, and I had not seen it, so I really, and the tweets really didn't give me any earthly idea what was going on other than the broadcasters, had stood up and saved the world from mankind.
Yes, the Mets broadcasters did a great job in their analysis. So let's get your analysis. Firstly, Wilson, the kid out of BYU, sounds like the Jets are absolutely going to take him. I mean, you're a college football expert. What is your take? I mean, do you love this kid as so many people do?
No, I don't. I can't do Jets history like you guys, but it seems like Sam Darnold, Sam Todd, Geno Smith, Mark Sand. It just seems like another blunder from my standpoint. And I'm not a draft Nick. I mean, I watch college football, and he played. He's a brilliant player, but who was he playing against? His biggest game of the year was against Coastal Carolina. I mean, I want a guy that's proven. I want a guy that's gone through the wars of whether it's the SEC or the Big Ten or something like that. And I think in that case, you have better alternatives. To me, this is just your typical NFL scouts, GMs. Thinking that they've invented the new iPhone, and they end up with egg all over their face, just like the cemetery full of Jets GMs. And I don't trust GMs. I don't. I mean, I think most of them are clowns who try to impress their bosses, and 2 years later they don't have to impress them anymore because they've already been fired.
So, Paul, in saying all that, Jets clearly, I mean, they traded Sam Darnold, so they're taking a quarterback. In your opinion, from what you've seen from these quarterbacks, who would you take with the second pick?
I would go with Justin Fields, and to me, he's proven it at a very big level. He's not perfect, but none of these guys are. But I think he's certainly proven a lot more to me than Zach Wilson playing out in the middle of nowhere has. And I just think you have to make a gut call. You can't start looking at metrics and go into a room with a Ouija board. You just have to make a sound decision, and you've probably got about a 50-50 shot at being right. But I would trust a guy who's proven himself and that has been a star, and he went to Georgia. Originally, he was going to Penn State, and then he switched to Georgia, which didn't work out. But that's okay. I mean, he was never given a shot at Georgia. People want to use that against him. I guarantee you, Kirby Smart, sorry, he let him go. In favor of Jake Fromm, and I thought he distinguished himself at Ohio State in 2 years. This past year was an aberration. Even though he got his team to the championship game, it was an erratic year, and he didn't look great at times. But I would still trust him more than Zach Wilson.
All right, so Rick is not going to be happy about this. Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Paul, I'm going to put you on the spot. Give us the answer, and then we'll revisit it in like 3 years. We'll play it back, and you'll either look brilliant or foolish. Rank in order for me how you have these five quarterbacks that we know are going to go, and probably the top, certainly 15, you would think.
I'm with everybody else. I thought Trevor Lawrence is in a different classification with everyone else. I mean, I don't really think it's comparable. And that's, you know, no reason to cry over spilled milk with the Jets for doing something they don't do very well, and that's win. So, and after that, I would go with Justin Fields, and then I would probably go with Mac Jones, believe it or not. I'm not as fascinated by him as you know some of my colleagues, but because he had such an amazing cast around him, but I still believe that he just has the intangibles, and sometimes in the NFL you just have to go with that, and so I trust him. So that, I mean, those would be my three. I mean, after that, I think you're grabbing. But I don't and Zach Wilson fourth, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, didn't mean to leave out New York's favorite child here.
No, but here's the thing, though. I mean, I don't think Dave and I disagree with you. I mean, from what you've seen from Justin Fields, especially with what you think his ceiling could be, I mean, I wouldn't be upset if the Jets decided to go with Justin Fields. I just don't know how much of why Justin Fields seems like he's now kind of getting. He seems like the quarterback of the five that seems to kind of be falling a little bit. How much do you think that has to do with the fact that he is a quarterback from Ohio State, and we saw how the whole Dwayne Haskins thing worked out?
Oh, I think it has a lot to do with it. And you know, I mean, you can't. I mean, rightly or wrongly, you know, we all have our biases. You can't get Haskins out of your mind, but they're not the same player, I don't think. And listen, you've got to just show how intestinal fortitude and believe it. And I don't know. You know, listen, I don't know what they're thinking out there. You know, in terms of you know what you know the controversies over Justin Fields. I just like him. I've always liked him. When he went to Georgia, and I'm basing a little bit this on that, but I mean, I had people tell me that saw him on the practice field that they have never seen a quarterback look like him. And you know, why didn't he work out? Because Kirby Smart runs a vanilla offense and never gave him a chance. But I mean, I just trust those impressions, and so I'm going to stick with that, and that's all you can do. But I think Wilson is you're really taking a flyer on somebody that looks like the composite quarterback you put together on an imaging machine. But man, I'm not going to trust him in the NFL based on what I've seen so far.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I mean, I'm kind of fascinated by this, and it may be kind of a repetitive question. I mean, would you be surprised if Wilson was a good quarterback in the NFL, or do you just think he's more risky?
Justin Fields. I mean, he reminds me. I mean, I know I've seen all the comparisons, but I remember when Allen came out a couple of years ago. I mean, he looked like a really good quarterback, and he's turned out to be. You know, I mean, I think he's proven that with the Bills. I mean, I mean, you could get that. But I don't want to sound like one of your callers here, but I'd never trust the Jets doing anything right. So I can't get that bias out of my head when I think that they're wrapping their arms around something that they're trying to convince themselves of, as opposed to, you know, going with someone who has passed far more tests than Zach Wilson, and that's Justin Fields. But you know, I also say, and people can just, you know, why do you have this guy on? I mean, I'm not Todd McShay, okay? I mean, I don't sit around, you know, 19 hours a day and look at film. I mean, I try to live my life and let the experts do that.
No, but you're not wrong. There's something to be said about, you know, a player's pedigree and you know how long he's been. I mean, go back, Justin Fields. I mean, wasn't he the highest rated high school prospect?
Yeah,
ahead of Trevor Lawrence, correct?
Exactly, and you know sometimes that doesn't matter, but you understand this as an athlete. I mean, sometimes it does matter, and I'm just going to go with my instincts on that. And you know, well, 3 years from now, what difference does it make? But I remember, I think I told you the same things about Sam Darnold. I loved him, and quite frankly, I still do.
Yeah, but it's a crapshoot, Paul. You know this. I mean, the reason why you don't trust the Jets is because they've given you no reason to trust them. A player's success has to do with, especially at that position, you know, his surroundings and how stable the franchise is. And it was not stable with Sam Darnold.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And, you know, that's been proven time and time again. And I know I sound like a crackpot here, but I just kind of chuckle because we put so much stock in all this conversation. But again, it is the time of the year. So, and I get all that, and I don't want to, work at ESPN. I don't want to act like, hey, I'm doing serious journalism here while everybody else is arguing over the draft. I mean, it's all the same, but I just, I know what the track records are. You guys know it better than I do because you live in New York.
So let me ask you this. You are of the mindset that Sam Darnold is going to do big things in Carolina?
I am. And I live here, by the way, so I mean I know the community. I mean, you talk about the difference between living in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Big Apple. I mean, it's like a college town, really. I mean, it's a big city in the sense that they have big buildings and an international airport, but there's no pressure here. And he's following this, okay? He's following Cam Newton, whose last two or three years here were an absolute disaster, which I know you'll agree with. And then Teddy Bridgewater, who never looked like he could find the line of scrimmage, and because he was always looking over to the side. And Joe Brady, to me, is a really bright guy who now has that 1 year out of his system. He's made the transition, and I think it's a comfortable place. There are no expectations whatsoever. There is no media whatsoever. And that will be perfect for Sam Darnold.
Paul Feinbaum joins us here in the show. Paul, last one for me. I'm interested because, this is obviously someone that's a little bit polarizing. I mean, let's be honest. And, he had the whole incident with, hiring Chris Doyle, and we saw how that turned out. They ended up having to part ways with him. But how do you think that this is going to work out for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville?
I think it will be an absolute disaster.
Really?
And yes. And I think we've already seen it. No. Now I don't want you to come back at me in 6 or 7 months and say, why did you say that? I think you can't come back to me until 3 years from now when Urban Meyer has a cheery press conference when he looks like, somebody's doing live acupuncture of him while he's talking. And, he says that, he's just not feeling well, and he misses his family, and he didn't realize it was going to be a 9-day-a-week job. I mean, I know Urban Meyer. I mean, I've had dinner with him. I've sat with him at functions. I've been around him. I've covered him for 15 years, and he should not have taken the job. I think he may have some success. He's in a good spot right now. I mean, he's got Trevor Lawrence. He's also in a town that there really is no pressure, Jacksonville, Florida. But he shouldn't be coaching. I mean, Urban Meyer just, he can't make up his mind what he wants to do. He said he was going to quit at Florida. He came back, and, we all know how that worked out. He went to Ohio State and did a brilliant job there, except for this. He should have won about 4 national championships. I mean, I think he underperformed there, but at the end he was fighting whatever demons he was fighting in terms of what. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with the guy, but he will not make it. You can go ahead. Wow. You can go to Vegas right now and bank on that.
So it ends poorly with Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We might not have that conversation 6 months from now, but at the end it will be bad.
I wouldn't be that benevolent. I'm talking about King Kong versus Godzilla. I mean, he's going down.
Wow. Wow. All right, last one for me. We'll let you run, and as always, certainly appreciate it. Should I ask you about the Heisman Trophy winner in honor of Canty, or no? Should we let that go?
Yeah, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence next year. No, I'm sorry.
You're funny. All right, so if the Giants at 11, they stay at 11, who's the better option in your mind out of the two Alabama receivers? Is it Waddle or is it Smith?
I would go with Waddle. I know that sounds crazy, but Smith is elusive. He's a generational player, but I think for the NFL, Waddle's a better player. I mean, Devontae Smith, I don't think weighs 130 pounds, does he?
No, he's skinny. He's slight. I think most people say that he reminds them of Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, no, listen, they do, and he's a fantastic kid, but I really. Waddle was projected to be the better player, and I think he was the better player until he got hurt. That shows you how crazy. I mean, Alabama's year last year was, you can't make it up. 3 of the top 5 Heisman finalists to get that in. Mac Jones, who wasn't even a starter a year ago today, guys, we were not sure he'd be the starter.
That's how crazy the year was.
Could be the third pick in the draft. Paul, it's great to catch up. Thank you so much. We have it all on tape, so we'll bring it back and either make you look great or bad. And we'll talk to you soon.
The pleasure was mine. Thanks, guys.
He's outstanding. All right, great stuff. Paul Feinbaum here on 98.7 ESPN. You can't have enjoyed hearing that, huh?
No, not at all. No, but I understand it. But this is what makes it a crapshoot, man. This is why it was so important for the Jets. And I know in the moment it feels good when you win, but this is why it was so important to have the first overall pick. Because you get yourself in trouble. I mean, you did the same thing. The Giants
now there's real decisions.
But those are the decisions that get you fired, because the Giants and Dave Gettleman were in that same spot, right? It's like when all of a sudden now there isn't a consensus on who's going to translate the best to the next level, and you have a choice to make. Like you had the first pick of offensive linemen. Which one are we going to pick? Because if we pick the wrong one, we're going to look stupid.
That's right.
And I mean the jury's still out, but after year one, I'm no one's convinced that they made the right pick with Andrew Thomas.
Not even close. But I still think the jury is really still out.
Like I agree with you, but there are certain times. Like you hear the word generational thrown out way too much, but there are certain times when there is a player that's a no-brainer. Like Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby.
Yes.
Those are no-brainers.
Yes.
Like you had, and I think the reason why you get so pissed off when I talk about it is like it was Chase Young and nobody else. It wasn't, Chase Young is good, but then there's also this guy and this guy. It was, no, there's no one close to Chase Young.
It wasn't comparable. It wasn't even close. And they completely, listen, I stand by it. Winning that game against Washington will haunt this franchise for a long time. It did nothing. Well, and Don got me so angry. Well, they have 5 touchdowns, and I want my teams to win. Sometimes you have to look at the big picture. He could have thrown 4 touchdowns, lost the coin toss in overtime, and lost that game. And it would have been fine. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Big as a Jet fan, I vehemently disagree with a lot of what Paul said, because a lot of it was based in nothing. You know, go to the tape at BYU over 2-3 seasons and show me why you don't think Zach's going to be a good football player. But to tell me because it was a competition thing, Dave, Rick, name me the last good quarterback at USC, Carson Palmer 15 years ago. What about out of Alabama? What about out of Ohio? That the guy's not going to be a good quarterback because the level of competition, there's plenty of Hall of Fame quarterbacks that didn't play at a major 5 conferences. Go look at Ben Roethlisberger. Even Phillip Rivers played at NC State.
NC State's a major conference.
Oh, no, but you're right. I mean, Steve, listen, I get your point. I don't think Steve's wrong.
I don't think he's wrong either. But if I said to you, would you rather the guy plays at BYU or would you rather he plays at Clemson, you'd take Clemson.
Yeah, you take Clemson because Clemson has, I mean, Deshaun Watson went to Clemson, you know, Trevor Lawrence went to Clemson. I understand what he's saying. Like there, I mean, that's, and I think that's part of the reason why people aren't as high on Justin Fields. Is I think they think a lot of the success comes from, you know, Ryan Day being great at what he does. And you just saw what happened with Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins had an unbelievable season. Unbelievable
season. He's a different kind of guy. And I think you have to take that into account.
I understand that. But I mean, the things that would concern me about Zach Wilson would have less to do with competition and more to do with personality-wise, how is he going to handle New York? Is it going to be humongous expectations?
Huge,
the fact that he's already had, you know, already had surgery on his throwing shoulder bothers me a little bit. Like, he has dealt with injuries, which, I mean, as a Jets fan, I'm fed up with at the quarterback position. I think Paul's opinion was largely based on the track record of the Jets with quarterbacks.
I think it's fair. Listen, he could be wrong. He admittedly says he can be wrong, but I don't think it's a wild opinion. Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Yeah, Paul's opinion, unless I respect it, but you're right, Rick. I think it was with the organization moving quarterbacks. And listen, look at Josh Allen, you know, the competition he played against. Yeah, look at the, I mean, you could take so many quarterbacks. There's no guarantees. Nobody knows how Trevor Lawrence is going to turn out. Did anybody think Tom Brady could turn into what he was? Joe Montana was a 3rd or 4th round pick. The draft is a total crapshoot. You have to just believe what your eyes see. And if the players get coached up the proper way, the talent's there. You guys play sports. You know what it is. You either have talent, you don't have talent. It's how much further you go when you get to the next level. And I think Zach Wilson has all the tools to potentially become a star quarterback. It all depends on what fits around him and how he's coached. And that's the bottom line. I'm not concerned about his character, because I think he's going to embrace New York, and I don't think the stage is going to be too big.
Whoever it ends up being with the 2nd overall pick, we all, I mean, it's, I mean, Shefty told you, he already texted Zach Wilson and said welcome to New York.
Yep.
So it's done. So it's Zach Wilson. It's going to be Zach Wilson is coming into a much better situation than Sam Darnold was coming
100%.
Into.
100%. The coach, the GM, the team, the talent, the offensive coordinator, everything will be better than it was. Everything.
So he's already got a leg up.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, does that mean that he's going to be great? No one knows that yet, but I feel better about it with where this team is at.
They feel like a way more stable franchise than they were. And I think I don't even think feels like they are a way more stable franchise than they were.
You know, we all know that, and it's not by accident that guys like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are having success. Look where they were drafted, to the teams they were drafted at.
Unbelievable. And you could learn about that on CMT today on KJZ. So this is kind of fun, and we can end the show in the week like this, and we'll hand it over to KJZ to take whatever they want from our show. And that is, if you, because you said you've never been to the Masters, is that the one place that you would want to go to watch a sporting event now at this point?
Yeah, that would be right.
Put everything on the table for you. I'm gonna give you Masters. I'm gonna give you Final Four. I'm giving you Super Bowl. I'm giving you World Series. I'm giving you Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm giving you, I don't know, the World Cup Final in soccer. Everything is on the table. The one thing that you need to go to is a day at the Masters.
See, I would like to play the course more than I'd like to actually go watch the tournament at the course. Ah, man. I almost want to say Super Bowl.
Have you been to a Super Bowl?
I've never been to a Super Bowl.
It's fun.
No, I know. Just the whole experience. I heard it's
over
great.
Masters,
I just never...
huh? I was sure you were going to say you want to go to Augusta.
I want to play Augusta. Like, yeah, it would be cool. Yeah, I would like to walk the grounds and everything else and watch the tournament. That would be great.
Here's what I'm going to offer you. On the table, I'm like Monty Hall, and let's make a deal. I'm going to offer you playing Augusta or 2 50-yard line seats in the 11th row for the Super Bowl.
Playing Augusta.
That's not even close.
Not even close.
All right, I'm going to one-up it now. Playing Augusta or 2 50-yard line seats at the Super Bowl as the Jets take on the Dallas Cowboys.
But that means I'm going to have to take Santi with me because he's a Cowboys fan.
No.
I have to. I have no choice.
There's no... If he was the last man on earth, I would not bring him to a Super Bowl that the Giants were involved with and sit next to me. No way.
Well, you're a bad... I mean, this just proves it right there. I mean, that's it. You're a bad guy. You're not a good teammate.
I'm not a bad guy.
If I have 2 50-yard line tickets for my team to play against Santi's team, I think I have... I mean, I don't even think it's a question. I have to take Santi with me.
It's a horrendous decision. But you're skirting the question. You go in Jets Cowboys Super Bowl or you're playing at Augusta.
You put me in a real tough spot because those are right next to each other.
Yep.
I think I have to go Super Bowl. Like, how many times are the Jets going to be in the Super Bowl?
I mean, I've been there in your lifetime.
In my lifetime, that could be it.
Nope. There you have it. All right. Good decision.
That's a terrible question.
I know it. All right, Santi, it is now time for you to be under the spotlight.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Okay, I'm going to preface this by saying this might have been the most difficult one to put together ever. There was a lot of options to choose from. You mean Dave and the 72 Dolphins?
I'm disgusting. The 72 Dolphins!
Paul Feinbaum having the smoke for everybody, calling GMs clowns, dragging the draft process, Jets, everything. Poached eggs, Pirates, you name it.
It was a jam-packed show.
It was jam-packed. But star number three is actually going to go to our listener, Vincent Cousin, who tweeted in all those, to say the least, some of them were pretty uncomfortable, but all of us as women, interesting.
I thought Han would be better looking. Han disappointed me. Han is not a great-looking woman.
No,
RJ
not
takes
at all.
The cake on everybody. We can all agree on this.
And plus with his size.
You're not allowed to keep the picture, by the way. Not allowed to keep it.
RJ, God knows what you do with that. RJ.
Number two.
RJ, are you flexible?
Please tear up the picture you printed.
what are you looking at flexibility-wise?
Come on, let him go.
Moving on to number two. As Paul Feinbaum put it, Gary, Ron, and Keith on SNY, who stood up and saved the world.
What are they saying?
They're saying the play stands. Game's over. The Mets win it.
Wow.
That's Michael Conforto. Stuck his elbow into it. And Mattingly's coming out and arguing, but I'm sure he's going to be told that that's not reviewable.
But you're trying to get it right. They don't get it right. So why even have replay?
number one.
And number one, the most hilarious portion of today's show, and we owe it to Don LaGreca and Michael Kay for confusing us about acid and mesk or meth, whatever you want to call it.
I've dropped acid. I've taken mesk.
Oh, my God.
Drop of the day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Michael, it's so funny. As good as it gets. Have a great weekend. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPH with Canty Rothenberg and
everybody.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.